Hello, hello, hello. So welcome to the next episode of the Shane Walsh podcast. So today is going to be one of the last episodes that are going to be solo for a while. I know I can see on my list here in front of me, there's some pretty freaking cool guests, some returning, some newbies, and some that you may not have heard of before as well. So I'm really, really looking forward to having everyone on and sharing their story, sharing their insights, because there's sometimes everyone has a different opinion, a very different viewpoint on things as well. So I always find it really interesting interviewing people because I learn as well. So today's episode is going to be on in relation to five mindset barriers or barriers to your mindset in relation to losing weight, being consistent, and almost like knowing what to do, but not doing it. So there's five main surprising reasons that kind of come across a good bit when I'm talking to clients. And I think it's important that be interested to see how many of them you resonate with when you're kind of listening to them and seeing what ones. There'll be different episodes that will be relatable. There'll be different episodes that may you need to kind of refer back to as well, because I won't be able to go through everything as in depth as I normally would. So hopefully you enjoy today's episode. So before I go into today's episode, I just want to give you a quick little update that there is a free resource on how to lose weight without tracking calories. It's a free ebook. It's 9 pages. It's been created by myself. And it's a really useful step-by-step approach on how to do that. MyFitnessPal is a great tool. Those apps are a great tool in the right hands. A hammer is a great tool in the right hands, but you wouldn't give it to a child. Now, counting calories is an amazing tool, but not everyone should be doing it. If it's a whole point that you don't count on weekends, maybe it's a point that you don't count when you've gone over your calories, or you don't count when maybe you've snacked a little bit more, that's a sign that MyFitnessPal isn't the right tool for you, and you probably need to learn how to do it without it. There's a reason why 85% of my one-to-one clients, whose photos you can see up on my social media and the transformations that they've had from mental health, relationship with food, the transformation photos that they have, that's because they've learned how to eat for themselves. So this could be the most important ebook that you've ever downloaded. So if you're looking for a free resource, click on the link in the show notes, download your free copy, and I hope that you enjoy it. Today's episode, I want you to think of a particular situation that you may be in or may have been to before. I want to see if it actually sounds pretty familiar. So you're excited, you started a new program, you're excited about getting back into things, you get a new program it's amazing, and you're hoping to get the results that you're looking for. Then you start loving it, you start enjoying it, you're enthusiastic, your motivation's high, your mood is good, and then motivation goes. You maybe start skipping sessions, maybe you're with a PT face-to-face and you start skipping those sessions, maybe you stop checking in, maybe you start withdrawing, maybe you start soothing or numbing things a little bit more in the evenings with alcohol or food, and then maybe those doubts start to reappear. Maybe it's those sentences of, maybe this is too much for me right now, maybe it's, I think this may not be the right time for me, maybe you can sometimes maybe come up with the excuse about financial. And I'm not saying that that's not an excuse. What I'm saying is sometimes people can use it rather than telling someone the real reason for that happening. Then there's other elements of, this isn't the right time for me, or I don't know if I can keep this up, or I'm not just motivated, I don't have enough willpower, I'm not disciplined enough, I haven't got time. Sure, I guess I could probably do that, but I know what to do, but. And these sentences are probably relating to what you're coming at. And maybe that's where you're at right now. And maybe you feel like you've got everything, all the material from whoever you're working with or working by yourself, and you're still beating yourself up why you can't stick to it. And if this scenario is really hitting home, and it can be puzzling, it can be frustrating, it can be embarrassing in some cases, and it can be a guilt trip in other cases. You feel that you can't ever stick to something. You're flat out frustrated when this happens. And then this little voice comes into your head and saying, it's my fault. And that picks up on your self-esteem, which is how you care what other people think, your self-worth, which is how you view yourself. But the big thing is, the reasons why you might be struggling right now, they are very, very valid reasons. I don't like this whole thing of, You don't want it enough. These stupid things that PT say, like the fitness industry annoys the life out of me. But it's not an excuse if you're struggling. If you're struggling with overwhelm, you're struggling with to prioritize yourself. It's about meeting yourself where you are at. And these could be legitimate roadblocks to your actual adherence. So any good person that you're working with, if they feel like you're, if you feel like you're getting guilted or shamed into change, or guilted or shamed for not doing enough in inverted commas, then that's the wrong person for you, and that's the wrong attitude. You can't always be in fifth gear, lashing it down the motorway. That's not possible. There are these times where you're kind of stuck in traffic, a little bit second and third gear, ticking along. And that those times, the bits that are going to get see you more often than not, they're the times that are going to happen more often than not. That lack of maybe the C word, which is consistency, or feeling stuck or losing motivation, happens a lot more than you think. The problems that you're having right now are not your own. It happens all the time. We all hit a point. There are often a lot more deeper, surprising, invisible reasons why potentially you're struggling right now to go up and do what you say you want to do. And I'm going to talk about the five biggest obstacles that I see and the important barriers that might be holding you back from where you want to go and how to actually overcome them. There's no point in me just going, sitting here and listing out the reasons without actually giving you proper advice. And you actually might be surprised at how familiar some of these sound, or even realize that these are the same roadblocks that may be hindering other aspects of your life. And often what is relatable to fitness, health, nutrition are often related to other areas of your life. It's often the same roadblocks. And more often than not, like sometimes the when you kind of hear what they are, sometimes they can feel invisible, but they kind of ramp up at certain times when our mood is lower. And these barriers are often internal for, and in some cases they become part of your identity. And but clearing these roadblocks will really, really help you to make more consistent progress. But also really important is not beating yourself up. A lot of people are really good at beating themselves up. And this can really make a big difference and a tremendous difference in your actual own life as well. For each one of these roadblocks that I'm talking about, you'll learn what the roadblock is, what it looks like in actual action, and what you can do to actually get through this and go through this obstacle or over this wall. So the first one that I'm going to talk about is the conflict that you're having is identity conflict, or you're struggling to let go of that identity piece. So as strange as it might sound to someone down there who is maybe not in the fitness industry, people in the fitness industry do struggle with identity. Sometimes there can be a struggle of, I look like this, I am the PT, rather than the actual individual. And when we lose that little bit of identity, or the training doesn't come a little bit easier for us and stuff like that, because we have different priorities, it's easier for coaches and PTs to kind of go out there and make an hour and a half or an hour for themselves in the gym 5 days a week or whatever it is, compared to John and Mary who are working with 2 or 3 kids, sleep deprived, stressed, etc. Sometimes when you have a very maybe young coach or a younger coach with less life experience, that might not be relatable to where you're at right now. So that's a really, really important thing to look at. So one of the examples that I'm going to talk about is if a client starts with me, and a common example would be they see their main identity as being a parent, a mom or a dad, but more often they see themselves as being a parent or a mom. I don't have many male clients at all, and it can be challenging when you identify as a parent or a mom to remain consistent. That sits sits outside of that identity box. And if being active and fit is a stark contrast to how you identify yourself, getting into that routine and that groove can be very, very difficult. And things that you may say to yourself is, I'm just a mom, my life revolves around my kids. I'm a people pleaser. I don't belong in the gym with all these fit people. I have a really busy job, so I don't have time to do anything. I'm a couch potato. I'm lazy. I have no willpower. These are signs of an identity roadblock. So how do we actually get through this? So to get through this, you need to help. I need to help you to understand that it can be worked through. But the important bit is that you need to start to recognize how these actions and how these actions that you have or these sentences and statements that you say to yourself can actually influence your actions. And you can take steps to move past them and move closer towards your goal. It's about recognizing, acknowledging, and trying to move forward. That's essentially what it is. Could you change the narrative and change the sentences of like, I totally understand. And it's about getting curious with the whole thing. Ask questions about your internal dialogue. Ask them how the person that you want to be would act. And it's important to write that out rather than just letting it rattle around like a widget in a Guinness can. It's about looking at, right, with the, where you want to go, are you doing everything you can possibly right now? Probably not, and that's okay. But if you were to look at where you want to go, what's one thing that you can focus on this week that will help you to act like the person you want to become? Focus on one thing. Meet them where they're at. And if that person gets consistent with that element, whether that be having protein for breakfast, it could be simple as that. It could be putting the phone away before 10 o'clock. It could be writing out a menu for the week. Something small. And it's about focusing on new habits. You need to work on establishing new healthy habits and goals. Start small. People don't like starting small. They like going for hammer and tongs. Pick a habit that feels confident that you can actually put into place from day one. If you're able to focus small and get small, you'll get a dopamine hit because you're getting to where you want to go. You're trying to be more consistent. So an example would be of a client that I can kind of come and picture in my head. A typical client that I would work with would be a client who maybe has identified as the chubby person in their family or out of the friends group, or the fat person in the group. They have the sentences and the language they use, not that I use. They've either always been on a diet, or they're trying to lose weight, or they're thinking about the next diet. They have never been happy with their weight, not even close to reaching the target. And when I've started working with these people, they've been very self-conscious. They've had a lot of negative feelings and energy about how they've looked and their self-worth. And what I try to encourage is to choose goals that we can work together that aren't appearance-based or weight loss-based. And within a few weeks, generally, energy goes up, sleep gets better, mood gets better, being more consistent, eating better. Then they realize how awesome they are, how consistent they can be. But we've only changed one thing or two things in those few weeks to make sure they've got enough energy. So if sleep is crap, we focus on sleep. We end that scrolling or that Netflix binge that they go on in the evenings. But it's really important to ask yourself and work with someone who can ask about non-weight related improvements and setting up different types of goals around non-scale victories. And that can help to break free of that limiting belief that you have about yourself. Check in on yourself and how you're feeling. Make sure whatever program you've signed up for is meeting you where you're at. Is it really working for you, or you feel obligated to check in? If you're not checking in, is it from a point that you're protecting yourself because you know you're not jumping in and you're fearful of success or fear of failure? Or is it a case of that you don't feel you can check in because you're judging yourself so harsh? Focus on connection and focus on saying, can we get more energetic? Well, how do we do that? We get you more sleep. What can we drop? Write out a list of things you can drop right away, or ask your partner for help. The second thing and the challenge that I see an awful lot is confidence. A lot of people lack confidence. So some of the things that might be said is this isn't going to work. It's decided from day one, and that just protects you away from jumping in or embracing the changes and don't wanting to change, etc. And you can only like, personally, I can only lead a horse to water. Some people won't change and some people don't want to change, and that's okay. Everyone changes at different points. Other things that can happen is, this is going to take too long. I thought I only lost a pound this week. It's not even worth it. I can never stick to things like this. Those kind of sentences are you giving yourself an out at the beginning before you even start. I always do this. Like, no, you decide to do this. The lack of confidence can be in your current abilities. It can be the efficiency or the efficacy of the actual program itself. It could be lack of confidence or connection with the actual coach. Or even the fear of actually being successful. I notice that what happens for a lot of people that I work with when they first start working with me is a lot of negative self-talk. Or there may be something that they start to question about understanding it fully, completely, before they jump in. And it's up to me to be able to explain things a little bit clearer sometimes. If they don't understand it, well, that means I haven't explained it enough. Another thing that people say, well, there's not enough cardio in things, it's not going to work. Oh, there's only walking in this for the first week, even though I've asked for a program. In some cases, the inner voice that you have might be in on this endless loop. And they're kind of listing off the things that could go wrong. And self-doubt and lack of confidence can prevent the workouts, the lifestyle change from ever happening. And that's scary. But as a coach, my job is to give you the confidence and not shame you. My job isn't to shame you. And my job is to acknowledge how you're feeling. Acknowledge that I get you. That the concerns you have are completely normal. That your instincts or your fears are not your own. And you're not alone. I actually think it's normal to have almost a brain fart at the beginning. I'm here to help. I'm here to support. And sentences might come up like, I can't share this with you right now. But if it's having an impact on food and consistency and stuff, well, then that person might not be ready to share that. And you need to accept that. I need to accept that. The person might be finding the process too big, too long, too hard, too much work, too expensive, too tangible or intangible even. It may feel like it's too much effort. They want the easy route. And that happens. Some people just want the minimal effort dose. And often I find that fat loss takes a lot less effort than people realize. But they want everything now. So what can we do? We can compromise. If the person's one of the things you can do is, if the person's concerned about the program with lack of cardio, that things aren't strict enough, well, I won't be doing that. or doesn't have long enough training sessions. So you can make a compromise. I'll meet them halfway. Bring a little bit more cardio for them. Bring a little bit of a finisher for them if they want. It's important to shrink the change. If the person's too worried that the changes are or the results are too far away, whether that's down to fear of success, self-doubt, or doubt in the program itself, we need to look at making the progress smaller or the changes smaller, more immediate, more instant results straight away. And as I said in the last one, it's not about the scales being the result. And we need to break down the goals into really, really, really bite-sized pieces. And knowing that they don't have to tackle everything or change everything all at once, even though they may feel they want to. But that's never worked. There's 100% feedback that's never going to work. And you need to focus on building trust with yourself. And the self-doubt will be normal. And sometimes a lot of the feedback that comes back to me is that they need to suffer, that this should be harder, But that's you and yourself worth talking, that you need to suffer, that you need to restrict it, because it's all you know. It's about moving and shifting your progress and your focus away from your perceived flaws towards the possibility of actually food freedom, removing food guilt, and actually being sane to yourself. So with having the weekly check-ins that I have with clients, whether it be in the female fat loss group or the one-to-ones, I'm talking to them in the group, or I'm talking to my clients daily. And we have a weekly check-in where I ask questions. We have weekly lives. We focus on the positive reinforcements. Nowhere does anything get shared about weight loss or measurements or anything, that kind of stuff. That doesn't happen. One of the big things I reinforce with my clients is three things. Celebrate three things that you've succeeded at this week. And often, sometimes when people have had a poor mental week, they leave that blank. But that also means they haven't thought about the question. And that could be as simple as, I got a hug off my kid. It could be that I had a date night. It could be that you went out for the first time in a long time. The next thing we need to look at is, you can feel like you don't belong. Like, we all have this belief system at somewhere in our life. For me, it was my teenage years. That we don't belong. Or we feel out of place. Or don't deserve this. And this can be a huge roadblock for people. And for many people, the gym can feel intimidating. Or even unsafe for some people as well. Depending on size, weight, age, ability, ethnicity, experience, financials. It can feel more uneasy for people. And people need a small win at the beginning. Has someone mentioned, do you feel, when a client messages me and say, I don't really like the gym because I don't feel I deserve it. I was like, well, do you want to try walking? Or do you want to try and do home workouts and build the confidence that way? Do you want to try and do stuff in classes and meet with friends and go that way and have the buddy system? Maybe it's something to do with the change rooms. Maybe there's someone there that they like. Maybe it's about that they don't want to stand out, that they identify as, insert comment of, I'm the fat friend, so I don't deserve to be here. But why don't you deserve to be there? Because you don't want to stand out. You maybe scan the environment that you look at in the gym and you try to find your place in the environment of, I'm the fattest here. And that's coming back to the identity piece. And being able to, how do I say this? Being able to walk into a new place and not have to question whether you fit in is a privilege not afforded to many clients that I have had. And it's okay to feel anxious. It's okay to have these worries. And they can be hard to overcome. And they may not go away forever. But it's about, my job is to make you feel as safe as possible and build your confidence up with small wins outside it. Maybe it's about doing the home workouts or walking or meeting up with buddies, whatever it may be. It's about making you as feel as comfortable as possible. Maybe it's something to do with wanting that sense of community and trying something different. Maybe it's joining a walking club, doing a couch to 5K, whatever it may be. Maybe it's going, maybe asking the person to go up to the instructor in the gym and kind of saying, do you mind showing us around to build our confidence? Maybe it's about creating the program with the video so the person knows exactly what's going on. Maybe it's that they have an invisible disability, whether it's a hearing issue or whatever it may be, so they don't feel confident in it, or they don't want to stand out by being, maybe they've got issues with knees or whatever it is, and they don't want to stand out in the classes. My job is to support and accommodate people as much as possible, making people feel safe, welcome, and not judged. and this will help as a byproduct to keep you motivated. The other thing that can happen sometimes is the judgment and expectation that's placed on you. Maybe it's the judgment that your body should look a certain way or evaluated by others. Many people experience it on a daily basis. Things that can kind of ramp up for people is that you must look a certain way to be worthy. Things like must be feminine, must be lean, shouldn't wear that, curvy, fat, all these kind of different things, these impossible beauty standards that are out there. There's also other things that I've heard from clients saying that I feel like I'm at the pleasure and service of others when they walk into a gym, that they can't wear certain things without being ogled in the gym. That they feel that their body is being up for scrutiny and debate. Oh, she's too skinny, she's too fat. That they don't deserve to be there. They shouldn't be wearing that because it's not ladylike. Maybe it's they've had a bad experience with a coach or someone in the gym where someone's come over and taken up their space and been in their space. Maybe that they don't feel they can wear certain clothes that they because they don't want to be stared at, so they cover up. And recognizing these beliefs and where they actually come from is really, really important to work through with the client and building that position to understand them a lot more. Together with the client, you have the environment and the power to create the environment that is safe and welcoming. Getting over these roadblocks is possible. For an example, maybe a client comes to me and they don't feel comfortable working out in the gym because they feel they're being watched or judged by other people, men, women, whatever it may be. They feel ashamed, uncomfortable, afraid, doubtful, too thin, too exhausted, too sexualized. And maybe and I've had clients before feel that they haven't been able to voice this, and they don't recognize that these are the belief systems that are circulating them at the minute, but also may not know where they're coming from. Maybe it's from trauma, grief, sexual trauma. So there's some of the things that I've heard clients talking about is, how do I get a butt like Kim K? I can't start dating until I lose the weight. No one will want me until I get rid of this belly or this jiggle. I would never wear a swimsuit out on the beach because I'm ashamed. It's important for me to have a conversation if I hear that with clients. But it's also understanding where the client's at, and they may not feel ready or want to be talk about that stuff. But it's important to know that you can break through those things. It's important that you feel safe in a more accepting environment, whether that's online or face to face or whatever it may be. My job is to implement a zero tolerance policy on body shaming. I don't celebrate wins with clients when they lose weight. I don't mention the scales. And sometimes clients ask me, why aren't you mentioning the win on the scales? Like, it's not why I'm here. You don't need my validation on the scales. You've already built that feedback loop from elsewhere. And it's the one that's maybe stopped people from going where they want to go, because they look for that validation acceptance all the time from other people, rather than addressing it inwards and inwardly giving themselves a pat on the back. I'd never praise a comment or praise a client about their body or their appearance. Like things like, oh, wow, you've lost so much weight. I normally kind of say, well, great, we've been consistent this week. Fantastic. Dropping food guilt, having meals out with friends without food guilt. It's not about their appearance. If a client asks me to do it, I'll be like, well, why do you want me to do that? Why can't you give yourself that? It's not about me making assumptions on a client. If someone's overweight, it's a multifaceted thing. Obesity isn't a choice. If someone wants to go on the weight loss drugs that are out there, that's a personal choice. whether my opinion or anything like that may agree or disagree, isn't fair to, like, if the client asks me what my opinion is, I will give both sides and allow them to make the decision. My job isn't to say yes or no. I'll never say to a client, you can't have this or you shouldn't eat that. And clients are always surprised when I do that. They're like, if I'm checking their pictures of their food, particularly with the one-to-one clients, one of the things that always comes back from clients is, you've never told me I can't have anything. And that surprises them. Oh, is there too many fats? What's too many fats look like? It's too many carbs in this. What to find too many carbs? And generally you get a blank look back. It's important that the language that you're using around yourself and using that, the language I'm using around you, isn't having an impact on how you see yourself. It's about not belittling that comment or that insecurity of how you're feeling about your body, and not belittling that and saying, nah, don't be silly. No, you're not fat. It's about allowing you to have a safe place. Another, and the last one is in relation to things, is dealing with emotions. And it's the expectation that a person will regulate their emotions. And in order to do that in particular scenarios. And it's a huge roadblock for an awful lot of people. It's deeply woven into societal fabric. It's camouflaged as duty. It's camouflaged as responsibility. And it's just saying, well, this is what I do. And one of the things that can kind of come up is this emotional piece of the duties that you have, that it's your job to do everything with the kids, whether that be arguing children or in the workplace, you're supposed to be assertive and not be labeled as bitchy. In social scenarios, it's needing to wear certain clothes. In public spaces, it's to be strong and not responding to catcalling or whatever it is. This abuse that the mental construct and the societal construct that's been built for you is tiring. Burnout, fatigue, insomnia, apathy, emotional difficulty concentrating, anxiety, forgetfulness, pessimism, exhaustion, personal achievement and diminishing those. I hear clients say it all the time. No matter how hard I try and stay on top of things, I just can't do it. It feels like I'm sinking. It feels like I'm underwater. I just want to forget about everything. So I'm just going to eat and drink or whatever it may be. It's exhausting. It can impact your emotions, your mental, your relationships, your physical capabilities and your capacity. It's important for me to understand this for a client and try to take away the stress of the whole thing. Like, weight loss is easy as a concept, and fat loss is easy as a concept, but it takes longer than you think. But the one thing that people forget about is the support piece. Emotional, physical support goes a long way. It's about meeting where the client is at. If someone says they're feeling really overwhelmed at the minute, you have a lot going on. Ask what's happening in their lives. They may not feel ready to share that, and that's okay. But it's about understanding why they're feeling overwhelmed. Is the program causing them overwhelm? Am I causing them overwhelm? Or is it other aspects? And if there's other aspects going overwhelm, okay, right, well, let's take all the layers back. What's one thing that we can focus on this week? All right, I'm just going to go for my walk in the morning, or I'm going to go to bed earlier. And these things may seem small, but they're wins that build confidence for a person. It's about being clear on maybe identifying burnout for clients. The pressure they're putting under themselves. We need to look at coping strategies. If you think of consistency, it really exists on a continuum, right? As long as people don't give up, they haven't failed. And if they have failed, which it's very hard to, it's either has been the wrong approach, or the person just has said, I just can't do this, and they're so burnt out and mentally frazzled. And it's important, and my job is that when everything's feeling overwhelming, that we need to take that step back and focus on maybe that self-care element and doing something for themselves, saying no to things, passing things on. And addressing these five roadblocks can be really, really tremendous. And I've seen it happen time and time and time again with clients. Asking better questions is my job. My job is questions. Sometimes I call myself the Riddler, or I call the Riddler, should I say. And these topics can be hard to identify and discuss. It's important to understand what empowers you and what works for you. It's about challenging thoughts and belief systems that you have. Being able to have open and honest conversations. And that's why with my one-to-one clients, they have the availability of the weekly check-ins, daily support, but also phone calls with me. With my group clients, they have their weekly check-ins, they have the Facebook group for support, but they also have a phone call with me towards the end of the program. I don't know any other group program that has a one-on-one call with the actual coach. I'm yet to see it. I could be really wrong. Plus, I also don't know what other coaches do. I don't really pay attention. So if these five mindset barriers that you're having are resonating with you, there are ways around them. And by not being shamed, being understood, having awareness and having empathy around you, things can change. If you want to work with me in a one-to-one capacity, click on the link in the show notes. If you've enjoyed this episode, please do tag me up on your story, leave a review up on iTunes, and I hope you've enjoyed today's episode.